Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger. Today, I have the special privilege of interviewing Kreen Galland, and we are going to be talking about all things vegan bodybuilding. So welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy.
I'm so glad that you're here today. Can you start by telling our listeners where you're at and kind of what you do and a little bit about your personal life?
Yeah. So I'm from Utah, born and raised, and I'm currently in Utah. And what I do for a living is I'm actually full-time National Guard. So you have the what's known as M-Day, which is the one weekend a month, 2 weeks a year, drilling National Guard soldier. I'm part of what's called Active Guard Reserve. So I'm on active duty status to support the unit full-time. And I currently serve as a training and ops officer, which basically just means that I help run training and plan training for a battalion and basically just send mobilizations or deployments out the door. And yeah, it's a pretty cool job. It gets busy, but it's been really good. It's been a really good experience, and I've learned a lot. And that's kind of what I do.
And how long have you been doing that for? And what kind of got you started in that?
Yeah, so about a year and a half. I initially joined the National Guard in around about 2016, I think. And I was still a cadet in college. I was training to be an Army officer. And then I graduated in 2017. I went to training, came back, and I got a full-time job in what's called the Army Language Training Program. And basically, we have it's a brigade, so it's a very large unit. I'm trying to keep this in layman's terms as much as possible.
Sure.
But we're in charge of keeping our soldiers proficient in their languages because we are a linguist brigade. So I was in charge of contracting courses, helping to plan training, and just do any of the stuff that was required to help keep 500 plus soldiers qualified in their languages. So that was pretty crazy. And then I moved to this position about a year and a half ago, and I've just kind of been doing that ever since. So it's been a roller coaster.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So how many languages do you speak, and then where did you go to school?
So I speak English and I speak French. I'm not very good at it. I wish I was better, but my job doesn't require me to be good at it. Unfortunately, I feel like that would be the motivation I needed to actually be really good at it. But I studied psychology in college. So I have a BS in psychology and then a minor in English and military science. And then I'm hoping to get my master's in the next 2 years, but we'll see what happens.
And what is your aspiration in that? What do you want to get?
So what I want to get is a literature master's, but I don't think that's going to be, if I end up going to the civilian side at any point, I don't know how effective that's going to be in securing me a job. So I'm thinking about maybe getting an MBA or something along those lines, because it's just a little bit more diverse.
Okay. And so how much time do you think you'll be spending then with the military?
I mean, full time still. So right now I'm in the career track where I could do my full 20 years, active guard reserve. So I probably just have to do night classes. So I want to do bikini and night classes and full time. It's going to be great.
This is totally how you roll. So those of you, those of our listeners that don't know you. So can you tell us a little bit about your personal life? I know you're married. How long have you and your husband been together?
Yeah, we've been together for 7 years. So we met in college. We were both cadets, and then we got married shortly before I left for training and he deployed. So I make the joke that we've spent half of our relationship away from each other. And it's not really a joke because it's actually true.
Oh my gosh.
So we've been married for about 3.5 years, and we probably only spent one of those years together because right before he deployed, like literally the day before, we got married. So
Oh, wow.
Oh my yeah.
gosh. Goodness.
So it's been interesting.
Yeah. Long distance. It's a good thing that you're a good writer, right? So you can communicate that way. So when we talk about the competition world, we know, or at least I know, our listeners don't, that you actually started your journey less than a year ago, in a way. I mean, you had started prepping for the show, I guess, about a calendar year ago. You started right before COVID, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to seek that out? Because I would also like for you, if you can kind of share some of your history. I know you're an avid runner and things like that. Some of the things that you did as like your background and things that led up to that point.
Yeah. So I've kind of always been an endurance athlete. Not really for the purpose of weight loss. I know a lot of women kind of come from a background of like metabolic damage and just doing a lot of cardio in an attempt to lose weight. That kind of actually was never really my motivation. I've got a very overactive brain, in case you haven't noticed. Running kind of became my therapy. I've been running off and on. I mean, I started really, my dad taught me how to run when I was 8. And then kind of ran off and on throughout high school. And then it's when I got into a college that I really consistently started running 6-7 days a week. And then obviously that was amplified when I joined the military. So I love running, swimming, hiking, obviously where I live. I could just hike all day. And I would do a little supplemental weight training during the week, but it really wasn't the focus. I never disliked weight training. I just never really put the same amount of consistency into it that I would my running. So basically, a few years back, I wasn't fueling myself properly. So particularly in college when I was a cadet, I was just really busy. I wasn't thinking about getting enough fuel. And I obviously used the busy as an excuse, which now we know is not an excuse.
right.
And I knew it was a problem, and I was getting injured quite a bit, not really having a lot of knowledge and necessarily how to fuel myself properly for the sports I was doing. So with that mindset, I kind of went into an army training in January of 2019, and long story short, went through a lot of extracurricular physical training and tests that really revealed to me that I needed to get stronger. Because I was in our previous, what's called known as the Army Physical Fitness Test, basically consisted of doing as many push-ups as you can in 2 minutes, as many sit-ups as you can in 2 minutes, and running your 2 mile as fast as you can. And obviously I aced that.
Right.
It didn't really require
excelled
right,
in that.
A lot of it was running. And a lot of it didn't require just extreme, just physical power as far as strength goes. So, but I knew that we were shifting to what's now known as the Army Combat Fitness Test, which is a lot harder. It's kind of CrossFit based, but it involves deadlifting. So what's called a sprint drag carry, where you're dragging 90 pounds and you're carrying 90 pounds. And basically it's a lot more involved, and yeah, it requires a lot more strength. So I knew we were shifting towards that. I had these other tests that were coming up that kind of revealed to me that I probably wouldn't be as combat effective just being a fast runner. It kind of was a coming to Jesus moment. So I had a buddy who I can accredit a lot of my strength training experience to him. I owe a lot to him, but I met him at this training and we kind of made a pact that I would make him faster if he would make me stronger.
Awesome.
And, yeah, that really sticks with me because it honestly completely changed how I view lifting. We would just go to the gym after class every day. And he just taught me to be super consistent. I learned something new every single day that we were training. And it was a super cool experience. So that's kind of where I really fell in love with lifting. And then obviously I kind of started considering competing. It always seemed like it was out of my reach because I was just like, well, I'm not muscular enough. Like, I'm a runner. I have a runner's build. I just didn't think that I could do it. But then as I started building more strength, I kind of thought, you know what? Like, I want to push myself in a new way. And I wanted to do something to motivate me to focus even more on strength training, given our new PT standards. Yeah. So, I just kind of went into it thinking, well, we'll see if I can do it. And then here we are now, and I've just completely fallen in love with the sport. I just love it.
That's so awesome. How much did you improve then? Did you kind of do that test before and then after you started bodybuilding and see how the changes were, like in your deadlift and things like that?
Yeah, so I've done the isolated events. I'm actually about to take a full one pretty soon here, which is kind of scary.
Oh, okay.
but I've done the isolated events, and we have what's called like a leg tuck. So I improved on my leg tuck. I have been able to increase my deadlift by about 50 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, and the sprinter I carry is not a problem for me at all. And ironically, even though during prep I have sort of back on my running so that I don't lose muscle, I have actually gotten faster. So that's pretty interesting. I would say that overall bodybuilding has really, really helped me with my strength training a lot.
Yeah, that's so interesting that you say that about running. I noticed that too. I, on like 5Ks and things like that, once I started bodybuilding, and I'm sure it's just because of better cross training and things like that. And I'd always done cardio, but it's like, my times got so much faster. It's crazy how that works like that, especially if you're doing a 2 mile, because that's not like a really super ultra long distance. But I bet the strength and all that combined really helped that. That's cool. So if you don't mind, so what led you to the actual decision of bodybuilding? Did you see it somewhere? Did you know somebody that was doing it? Or was it more just you had heard about it and you were like, okay, this would be a great way to focus on improving my strength?
I don't actually know. I think it's probably a combination of things. I hadn't really had any friends that ever did it. I just kind of would hear about it in passing. So I kind of started just doing some research, and obviously like falling down the YouTube rabbit hole. And I kind of got fascinated with just watching the process and like seeing how honestly mentally tough these people had to be. I think a lot of people just see the glitz and assume that it's just getting on stage and getting a tan and like that's all it takes. But really it can be, you have some hard days when you're in
prep. Yes. And for those of you that don't know, she's like 3.5 weeks out, 4 weeks out from her show. So we all know what that prep brain feels like. And yeah, it's definitely not for the faint-hearted, that 1% of the population. Because I think a lot of people can handle like the training aspects, but the part that I at least pushes me is the food part, like eating and discipline with the diet.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
what is your biggest challenge when it comes to bodybuilding?
It's probably the food. I'm pretty good in that, like when I set my head on something, like when I have a goal, I'm really going to push for that thing. But a girl can eat. Like I'm an endurance athlete through and through. I'm used to just pounding the pavement and then just eating everything. So bodybuilding was a complete shift in that mindset, where you start getting to those last 4 or 5 weeks of prep and you start having the days where you'll go into the gym, you'll kind of stare at the weights, be like, okay, we have to do this today. Like it's just about figuring out how you're going to portion out your energy strategically so that you can actually accomplish your goal.
Yes. Mental mind master is what makes a pro, I think. So can you tell us, that really segues really well into my next question, and I think what the listeners are probably the most intrigued about is just how long have you been a vegan? Kind of what's your background in that, and what inspired you to do that? Have you been one your whole life? Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So I have been vegan for my veganiversary is in June, 7 years.
Okay.
What really started it, I went vegan for ethical reasons. So I remember very distinctly when I was about 8 years old, I just I've always loved animals. And I know everyone's gonna say something like, you're in the military and you're vegan and like, how does that make sense? Make it make sense. But I just have a soft spot for, I guess, innocence. Like children and animals, I just can't, like, I can't imagine. I'm very protective. So when I was 8 years old, I wanted to go vegetarian. Obviously my parents wouldn't let me and they're like, she'll grow out of it. And then I didn't grow out of it. And I turned like 15 or 16, went vegetarian and pescatarian. And then when I got into college, I kind of started doing more research into the environmental impacts and the fact that if, you know, dairy and eggs and that industry just feeds into the industry that I was trying to avoid in the first place. And so I was just like, well, if I'm doing this for ethical reasons, then I better do it the right way. So I slowly wean myself off of dairy and then eggs. And I just realized that for me personally, and this isn't going to be for everyone, the vegan diet was working really, really well with my lifestyle and my energy. I felt a lot better. And so I just kind of ran with it and I haven't really looked back. So
some people see changes in their digestion, their skin health. Did you see any of that, like, other than just the better energy?
Absolutely. When I was in high school, I had really bad acne. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. Nothing that would have, like, I wouldn't say it was like I needed to go on, like Accutane or anything. It wasn't that severe. But it was painful. And so it kind of started flaring back up in college. And if you can imagine, obviously I still, despite being a runner, still gained a little bit of weight when I got into college. That's normal. That happens. And as a result, I was probably eating more dairy in particular. And I was just breaking out so severely. I just remember my freshman year of college, just wondering, like, I stopped wearing makeup. I'm like, what is going on? And it was almost like not even eggs. I would say it was probably dairy. The minute that I stopped eating dairy, I'd say within 2 weeks, my skin was just clear. And I have not really had any severe skin problems since then. And then digestion wise, that was obviously a shift.
Yeah.
Without getting too graphic, my body had to take some time to adjust to the additional fiber. Uh-huh. But once it did, it was perfectly fine. I haven't really had too many digestive problems since. Usually during prep I will, but that's normal. So.
Okay. So what do you do if you feel like you're getting too high on your fiber counts? What are some things that you've done to adjust that?
Yeah. So I just change the types of vegetables I'm eating. So I'll usually switch from like Brussels sprouts to like spinach or something, or I'll maybe take a different, like I won't have rice or I won't have quinoa, and instead I'll have like some cereal or something that's low fiber. And I just try to focus on, I kind of just will plug it into my Fitness Pal and see like, okay, am I going over my fiber amount? Because when you're in prep, as you know, and this is something that we've had to work through a lot. Having too much fiber can be problematic as well. And it can actually slow your digestion. And I found that obviously. So it's been kind of a delicate balance. Mostly the thing that's helped me the most is just switching up my vegetable choices. And that usually kind of gets things moving per se.
Awesome. Okay. And so the big one, I think the big question for everybody is, how do you get adequate protein? And what are some of the ways that you get protein? So just to educate the listeners, and if you've listened to my protein synthesis podcast, the complete amino acid profile is in animal byproducts. However, you can get them as a vegan, but you just have to be more diligent is what I always tell people. So if you want to put it in a, like a really simple way, a plant eater versus an omnivore can get the complete amino acid profile by about like a 20 gram bolus for most females. Whereas I encourage vegans to get like a 40 gram bolus because each plant has a diverse, different type of amino acids. So the 9 essentials. You know, they can be found in different plants. It's just that they're not all in one. So can you kind of share and shed some light on how you diversify your protein sources and some of the things that you do? Because I think there's a lot of vegan, I think it's getting a lot more popular. But in bodybuilding, I think it's a very, like, you know, subset. You have to really focus on getting particular things. So can you kind of share some of that with the listeners?
Yeah, so it's a delicate balance. I would say my main protein sources are seitan, protein powder. I try to just use it as a supplement, but obviously sometimes life gets in the way. Quinoa for a high protein carb source, beans for a high protein carb source, and then tempeh. And then I'll occasionally use tofu if I'm aiming for more fat in my diet, but I've kind of found with tofu that you get sick of the taste really quickly, even if you do season it. And it tends to be higher in fat, so it's not the most macro-friendly protein. So obviously I'm using a wide array of different things, and I try to get two or three of those in my diet every single day. And then normally I would say, like, I know that we use BCAAs a lot on our team. Mm-hmm. And I know there's been a lot of research about whether or not they actually help you. I would say for vegans, BCAAs are a good idea, especially, just because that does help ensure that you're going to get those amino acids if you potentially can't get them from your food. But the biggest thing is honestly just that when you're vegan, you just have to eat more protein than other bodybuilders might have to. So yep. Right now I'm having almost 200 grams of protein a day. Mm-hmm. And I've had to kind of portion out some of my macros that would normally go to fats or carbs to protein. And then also understanding that whereas non-vegans can use meat, as their protein source, there's not really a lot of carbs in that. Obviously,
right,
it's a pretty
right.
straight protein source. When you're vegan, there's going to be carbs in your protein. So you have to do that math too to calculate, okay, can I still have a cup of rice with my seitan because my seitan has carbs in it. So it's kind of a delicate balance to try to figure out your carb to protein ratio. And then also just making sure you're getting that wide array of protein every day. Not getting enough protein is not an option when you're vegan because you just want to make sure you're getting all of your necessary amino acids. So
yeah, and I think you bring up a good point about the BCAAs. Those have three of the essential amino acids, but if you're really trying to get to the nine essential that your body doesn't make, that you have to ingest, the EAAs have all nine. So that's another good way to ensure that, you know, if you take that, especially pre-workout, and even like an omnivore can have an EAA supplement before they lift, if they're lifting on an empty stomach, and it's enough of the nine essential so that muscle protein synthesis can be stimulated. Mm-hmm. So just to kind of unpack a lot of what you said. So for example, you had talked about the tofu. So you, for example, on your macro ratios, you're a high carb, low fat dieter. So would you say that it's been pretty pivotal having your macros versus a meal plan where you can, you know, because even things like oatmeal have protein in them and peanut butter and things like that. So what are your thoughts on doing a vegan lifestyle with or without macros or a meal plan? What are your thoughts
I would say a meal plan would just, I mean, I think any bodybuilder can say that from what I've heard, at least pretty much all bodybuilders that use If It Fits Your Macros versus a meal plan have enjoyed it much more. It's just much more diverse and it keeps you from going completely crazy when you're in prep. For one, but then also if you're vegan on top of that, being vegan, having a meal plan, it could there could be some concern that you might not get everything you need from just having a meal plan. So I would say having the macro approach definitely helps me track my nutrients a little bit better. Lets me know, for example, I didn't know Brussels sprouts were a higher protein vegetable. So now they're a staple in my diet because they help fill some of those gaps where I wouldn't normally be getting protein. So it's taught me a lot about high protein plant sources as well. I would definitely say it's probably, in my opinion, at least, I would think it'd be safer and much more manageable to do a macro approach when you are vegan bodybuilding.
Yeah. And so can you go through that list of proteins? So we have to be really careful about especially what type of protein powder we chose for you to kind of look at being the absolute lowest carb that there is. So can you kind of tell us like what kind of protein powder that is? And then for those of us that don't know what seitan is, like how that is created or made or what is that made of?
Yeah. So I use First Form products primarily, and I use the Vegan Protein Powder Pro, which is, it tastes so good. It's amazing. And what I like the most about it is the texture is a lot better than pretty much any other protein powder I've ever had. Like a little bit goes a long way. And it's very low carb. It's got like 1 gram of carb per serving. And then 20 grams of protein. So it goes a long way. And it's very macro friendly and it allows me to get carbs from other more filling sources as well. So I can have oatmeal and protein powder at the same time, which is great.
Yes.
Tastes much and better. Then seitan is essentially, and this could be an issue for gluten-free people, but seitan is essentially a wheat protein. So I'm not really sure exactly what the gluten amount, I don't really have issues with gluten. So that would be something to consider for sure if you are sensitive to gluten. But it is a wheat protein and it's probably my favorite source of protein because it's definitely kind of fulfills that umami sort of sensation. Normally with a lot of vegan food, you can use like lentils and sometimes tofu if it's seasoned properly and maybe tempeh. Can have some of that umami sensation to it, but seitan definitely feels, it doesn't taste like meat, but it feels kind of like meat. It has that same satisfaction factor.
Yeah, and to me, it looked like deli meat. I remember you eating it backstage before, and I was like, what are you,
what
not
is that?
Vegan anymore? Yeah, it definitely looked like deli meat.
You can get it in chunks too. It's so funny. My soldiers call it meow mix, which I know that doesn't sound appetizing, but I promise it's good. But it's become a running joke that I have to eat my meow mix 5 times a day. So,
so tell us about that. What does it look like? Does it come as like a jerky or like in a can, like tuna?
It can come in a lot of different forms. So usually you can either get it in slices, kind of like deli meat, or in chunks. So, and I don't really know how to describe it other than it kind of looks like chicken, but it's not chicken. I really don't know how to describe it. You can pull it apart really easily. And it's kind of fibrous, but it's also, very substantial. And it is really good. It does taste good. It doesn't taste, like usually you'd associate vegan food with just being bland and it's just tofu, but it actually tastes really, really good. So if you are a meat eater, I would recommend using your that transition. I would probably say seitan would be the way to go to start, other than like mock meats. So.
Okay. Yeah. And then I remember post show, you were eating some tacos. Was that seitan in those or no? What was in those?
I think it was either jackfruit or seitan. Jackfruit is not high protein. But people use it kind of like a pulled pork substance.
Okay.
So it can kind of mock that same
feel.
Yeah, that same feeling as pulled pork.
Yeah, yeah. And then speaking of that, I mean, what's your favorite refeed meal, or if you're gonna have a treat meal or an untracked meal, what would that be?
I have a lot.
Give us your list, because I'm sure they're so different than, you know, other things. So,
yeah, no, for like an untracked meal, usually if I'm deep in my off season and I'm like off of my reverse, for the most part, like I've reversed out successfully, I like to go out and get like a slice of pizza with my husband, or I like to have like a bread bowl with some lentil soup in it. It's really good. or I'll have like, and this is going to sound really gross, but I promise it's really good. You can have sourdough bread with seitan slices and some like cranberry sauce, because it kind of mocks the post-Thanksgiving sandwich would have.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually really good, surprisingly enough. So those are kind of some of the weird bodybuilder combinations that I enjoy.
So really quick on the pizza, and this is just showing my ignorance, because I know they make dairy-free cheese. Mm-hmm. I've actually eaten that at a pizza place, but how do they make the crust without eggs? How do they do that?
So bread, typically, if you get like artisan bread or pizza crust, normally it doesn't, by default, it doesn't have dairy in it. It's just worked gluten. So some places will put like butter in it, or they'll use butter like while they're preparing the pizza itself and the toppings. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the times they'll use oil. We've got this really famous pizza place in Utah called The Pie, and all of their crusts are by default vegan. So, and then they give you a vegan option, which is amazing. I actually don't usually use vegan cheese because it doesn't sit well with me. So I'm the kind of person that likes to have a cheeseless pizza. People can come at me if they want to. but I like to have a cheeseless pizza, and then I'll usually just bring a protein source. So I'll bring like seitan crumble or something and put it on there to kind of mock like sausage or something. It's just about getting creative to make sure you're getting your protein.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you share, because I remember I was like recommending honey, and can you kind of tell us about and educate our listeners as to why that would be something that you wouldn't utilize as a vegan?
Yeah. And you know, what's so funny, this is actually really nuanced. There are some vegans that think that eating honey is ethical and they're cool with it. Mm-hmm. And to an extent, I kind of agree. And maybe I'm kind of putting myself in hot water by saying that. I personally don't eat honey just because I'm of the mindset of, if I'm going to be vegan, I'm going to be vegan. I'm not going to use any animal products whatsoever. But a lot of vegans rightly believe that, you know, honey helps bees. So at the end of the day, as long as it's ethically sourced, why wouldn't I eat it? I'm of the mindset of, I'd rather just not even go there, because I don't know how the bees are being treated. And I don't know, even if it is quote unquote ethically sourced, I still don't know. But yes, technically honey is an animal product. Technically vegans aren't supposed to eat it.
Yeah, it wasn't even on my radar, because you think of them as an insect, but yeah, they are a living creature, and that they can have bad environments, you know, to, mm-hmm. yeah. So it makes total Definitely. Sense once I realized it, but it wasn't even on my radar. So,
yeah. And then I know like Drea sort of like, she would recommend, Drea is my coach, by the way.
Yes, we didn't say awesome. That. We should have.
But she would recommend like, oh, take this supplement or this supplement. And then I would do the research. And one thing that you want to be mindful of, if you are a vegan, there's a lot of hidden animal products in supplements. So there's a lot of gelatin capsules out there. There could be some products that are animal byproducts within the supplements themselves. Obviously, like fish oil is a good example of that. Right. So if you're just taking like a stack, like a vitamin stack that comes in a packet, you want to be sure that all of the vitamins in there, you don't just throw it back and realize later that it's not vegan. So yeah, typically I just have to kind of find other supplements that I can use in place of those other supplements that normally you would use when you're bodybuilding.
Yeah. So
and then
real quick on that, it's on my mind, the EFA is so essential fatty acids. So in place of the, omegas that are found in a fish oil, if somebody doesn't like that, chia seeds, flax seeds, things like that, do you take a supplement that has those types of plant-based essential fatty acids in them?
Okay. So sometimes I'll get it from food, but again, macros are low, so especially during prep. So
right, with fats especially, right?
Exactly. So I had to be very conservative with my fats. So typically, I actually use this company because I'm the kind of person where I want to make food fun as much as I can. So I get these sugar-free vitamin gummies because I'm an adult. And that's the only way that I'm going to take my vitamins. But it's called Mary Ruth Organics. And they've got a really good selection of, sugar-free, vitamin gummies. And I get my omegas, my B12 and my D3, from them. And that is one thing that's important to touch on as well. If you are vegan, you have to be mindful of taking your B12, your D3 and your omegas more than someone who isn't vegan. Because plant-based, you can't get B12, for example, from your food when you're a vegan. So
yeah,
just something important to remember.
You bring up a good point too, in a lot of like iron deficiencies can, you want to worry about making sure that you get your blood tested so that you're not anemic mm-hmm. and your iron's not too low and things like that. And that's easily supplemented as well. But I don't know if you ever have gotten that checked or if that's ever something that you supplement.
Yeah, so iron supplements can do a lot of damage right. to your system unless you're medically diagnosed with chronic anemia.
Correct.
So I typically just try to get fortified cereals, plant milks, there are protein powders out there that I'll just put in sometimes with my first form if I'm not getting enough iron. That have it supplemented. So typically you can just kind of pick from different sources of supplementation that kind of just fortify with iron.
Yeah, so I've noticed cream of rice is really fortified with a mm-hmm. lot of iron. So I have to actually avoid that because I have high iron, which is it can be medically, your iron can get too high and that's not a good thing. Whereas, most vitamins you pee out, like your B vitamins and things like that. If your body won't let you get too much, but yeah, you can overdose on iron. So that's one that you definitely want to make sure you're getting blood work and you're knowing if you are, deficient or if you have too much. It's so weird because if you do have too much, donating blood is like a good way to get rid of the iron, but side note. So anyway, as far as like any kind of other tips or tricks that you have that just makes veganism enjoyable or, maybe there's a listener out there that's trying to transition and they're struggling. Are there any ways that you find that can really kind of mix things up and, help that transition?
Yeah. I would say make sure that if you don't focus on anything else, focus on your supplements and your protein. Again, the one thing that's going to probably determine your longevity the most with a vegan diet is making sure that you are getting your B12, D3, omegas, and then also making sure you're getting enough protein so you're not getting injured. And then I think the biggest thing, and it's a lot like bodybuilding itself, is finding your why. So why do you want to go vegan? Is it for the environmental impact? Is it for the health reasons? Is it for ethical reasons? And from there, I would just do some research. Because the more you know, the more motivated you could be to stick with that dietary change. And then obviously just phase things out slowly. Don't just go cold turkey. Don't cut out meat and dairy and eggs and honey and everything all at the same time. That's just going to wreak havoc on your system and you're not going to feel very good. And it's okay to take it slowly. You don't have to be perfect. And I always say this too. I feel like in the vegan community, there's a lot of criticism for people who are not fully vegan, but they're vegan most of the time. And I think that's great. I think anything that helps you feel better, helps the environment, helps the animals. If you just want to be vegan one day a week, awesome. I think that is incredible. That is such a great step in the right direction. And if veganism doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. That's totally fine too. Just give yourself some grace and focus on volume too. Eat lots of vegetables. Lots of vegetables, lots of fruit. Obviously, slowly add them because you're going to be hungry probably, and you're probably going to have some cravings. So just kind of focusing on those protein sources we talked about, getting enough volume, getting enough healthy foods in your system to start feeling good, and supplementing, and then just get creative. There's someone I follow on Instagram, and she has a lot of really incredible cookbooks out there. She Glows. She's from Australia, and she's got a really cool story about veganism and how she transitioned to veganism. But she's got some really great recipes, maybe for your off season, more likely. And then Natalie Matthews is a vegan bodybuilder that I follow. Yeah, she's an IFBB pro. Mm-hmm. And she's a little firecracker. She's freaking amazing. I love watching her videos. She's got a lot of really great tips, and she's just really positive about veganism and bodybuilding, and definitely makes you feel like I can do this and this is totally possible.
Yes. She was at the show that Chris competed in Tahoe last year, and so I got to meet her in person, and she's a sweetheart. She's a great ambassador for the sport. Yeah, if you don't believe it's possible, you should first of all see Kareen's before and afters. I'm definitely going to post those with this social media post so that everybody can kind of see your transformation that you made. And yeah, if you see what Natalie Matthews is all about, she's definitely a role model for the sport for anyone, and it's so inspirational that she does it all vegan. So
yeah, and it's so cool, honestly. Like, people think that when you go vegan it's going to be really boring, it's not going to be satiating, and to be honest with you, the options now versus when I first went vegan 7 years ago are just miles apart. It's not boring if you do it right. You're gonna have to cook a little bit, you're gonna have to spice things up a little bit, but it's totally doable.
Yeah, I feel like it's come a long way. It's been much more popularized. So you can go into most restaurants and they have at least something there, which I feel like, you know, maybe even 5 years ago, they didn't have quite the diversity. So that's good. All right. So what are your five, if you were to pick like your top five favorite things about living the prep life, what would those be?
I think I enjoy the process the most. I find I learn something new every prep, and I think it's kind of cool to step back and kind of see your body transforming all the time, and kind of almost objectively and scientifically looking at it from that perspective of, oh, when I do this, this happens. And I think that process and that journey is just so cool, and it's so interesting every time. And then I really enjoy the you versus you mentality. Just that momentum and the constant desire to be the best that you can be, is probably, I don't know, probably just the best part of the whole thing in general. Cause even though you are competing against other people, you're still really just competing against yourself.
And, agreed.
Yeah. For sure. And it definitely takes some of that, the toxicity you might see, in other sports or among other groups. And I think that that really makes a difference. And then I would say probably the fact that it's, well, at least with our team especially, I like the female focus. I like that feminine energy. I'm in a very male-dominated profession.
So true.
So, yeah. And that's great, and that's fine, but sometimes it is really nice to be around other extremely empowered women who are interested in just improving themselves and bringing each other up. I feel like sometimes women can be unnecessarily competitive with each other. And it's always a really good reminder to be mindful and just lift each other up and empower other women.
Absolutely.
And then I like being really in tune with my body. I obviously went from not listening to my body at all and running 70 miles a week and not eating enough to now kind of knowing when something's off and like if I'm feeling more deflated and understanding how the foods I eat impact my body and my performance. And then finally getting strong. One thing I've definitely learned about bodybuilding is it's not all about the aesthetics. It's also about like, hey, I just deadlifted 250 pounds and that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. I think that was four. Did you have any others? Those were all good ones. Those were really good ones.
I mean, being part of an awesome team, yeah.
Can you kind of tell us about your journey with so for those of you that don't know, Green basically is placed in the top three at every show she's done. So she's done two. And then can you kind of tell us what that's looked like from show to show and how you're kind of taking any kind of feedback that you got from those two shows last year and bringing that forward to this year?
As an important side note, that's my first show that happened during COVID. So, obviously I wasn't able to have as much access to as much equipment as I would have liked. So I couldn't develop probably as much as I would have liked before my show. But my first show, I got third, I think, in open, third in novice, and second in true novice. And the one thing I really learned from that, and the main feedback I got, was that I just needed to build more. I just needed more muscle, which was what I expected. And I definitely learned that in that show, like thinner, the goal of the sport is not to be thin. It's to build your body and to get the shape, the desired shape. So obviously you want to be lean, but the goal is not to just get as thin as possible. And then the second show, I got third in, no, third in open and then first in novice. And yeah, I think that was the, I enjoyed that show a lot more. And I think I learned from that one, obviously, to continue building my body. I think, especially when I was comparing myself to some of the other girls on stage that placed higher, especially in the lower body. Their glute and ham development was a lot more progressed than mine was. So that was something I've really focused on this prep. And that was kind of what, that's kind of the main, really the main thing that I've taken away from both those shows is I just need to lift more. And that's cool. I'm good with that. So.
And so you had mentioned that on the second show, you enjoyed that one a little bit more. So just for you all, she basically improved her placing by two in that one, went from third to first, and it was a very large show, considerably larger than your first one, correct?
Yeah, for sure.
So what made the difference in that one? Why did you enjoy that one more?
I liked the mindset a lot better, and it probably helped that it was a team show. But something that really stuck out with me was that you pulled us aside before we got on stage, and you did say something to the effect of, "Hey, be that girl that supports other women backstage. Bring women into your fold, help them out. Don't be the person that isolates other women." And I think just having that really positive mentality and that really supportive mentality to just encourage other women kind of took the focus off of, okay, I need to do really well. I need to do really well. And okay, how can I help other people? And I think that just made it a lot more fun and more positive. And I think that really showed on stage for
Aw,
sure.
well, thank you for that. That's really sweet. I didn't realize that it impacted you like that, but I would say, yeah, you it was also awesome, I think, for both Dre and I to be able to see you in person and to meet you and to be able to, give you cues from the audience versus,
Drea was yelling at me
I know.
the
It
whole
was great. We always love that stuff. That's why we like to have those team shows. Something additional too, I believe that you have added this time around, and I've noticed some changes in your physique. Just so you all know, she is a macronator, so she diets on about 2,000 calories. I think during peak week, you had on your carb up day on your front load, you had like 350 grams of carbs, something like that. So she is very, she burns through the calories pretty quickly. I don't remember what I was trying to get at this. Oh yeah. So we've increased the amount basically in your reverse, but also creatine as well. That's been is something new that you incorporated at this prep. And I feel like your muscle bellies are just a little bit more full. Would you agree on that?
So creatine is a game changer. I've just the improvement I've noticed in my lifting and my performance in the gym and even my energy levels has been incredible. I've felt a lot more energetic this prep than I have any other prep. And I feel a lot less deflated, for sure.
Yeah, and that is a supplement. So that one comes from red meat. So as a vegan, I think that's another one we'd be remiss without saying that not everybody needs creatine, but I do think that it's very helpful for vegans to supplement with that. But just from a standpoint of any athlete, you know, it does help with your production of ATP, and it definitely gives you higher performance in the gym. So I can definitely tell that that's made a big impact on your physique. And I'm excited to see you again in St. Louis in May, because you're going to rock it. So what are your future plans moving forward in the sport?
So I obviously want to take it as far as I can. I mean, obviously dreamland here, but I would love to go pro at some point. I just basically, I've fallen in love with it, and I would love to just take it as far as I possibly can. So the future is open.
Awesome. Okay. Any sort of tips that you have for the audience in terms of your posing, your training, your cardio, anything that we missed that we didn't talk about with veganism?
Yeah. I would say a few important things. When you're posing, it's going to hurt. If it doesn't hurt, you're probably doing it wrong, and it's going to feel really weird. I think probably the biggest advice that I could give is just keeping your mind constantly open up, especially in your front pose. The biggest thing I struggle with is making sure that my upper body is facing the judges while my belly button is pointed to the side of the stage, and really getting that X frame. If you feel like you're pushing hard, you're still probably not pushing hard enough. So just when you're up there posing, you just want to make sure that you are being as dramatic as you possibly can. And you're going to be nervous, so fake it till you make it. Smile. Don't stop smiling. And then, yeah, I mean, just it's obviously just one of those things where you, another thing is if you don't place, like, that's okay. And I think the biggest thing that I can probably, biggest piece of advice I can give people with competing is that it is just about bringing your best package to stage every time. And judging is extremely subjective, and it's really important to be able to take that feedback subjectively or objectively, and use it to empower you rather than bring you down. And if you don't place, it's not a big deal. You can get back up and you will compete another day. So that's pretty much it. It's all about improvement.
Yeah, that's so well said. And I really appreciate all of your words of wisdom. You have really, really shared a lot of golden, I think, just motivational tips and just ways about you that it's very clear that you're humble and kind, and that you have a genuine heart, and you do this, you know, just to improve. And you are just a light and such a inspiration to so many people. So I appreciate you so much for coming on today and sharing all of that. You're amazing. If our listeners wanted to reach out to you and chat with you about veganism or anything that you had mentioned in the show today, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I'm pretty much only on one social media platform, and that's Instagram. So it's at run_CG. And yeah, it's private, but obviously you can just reach out and I can message you back if you have any questions about anything. So
awesome. I'll put that in the show notes. And so if you would like to find us on Instagram, it's at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. And if you would like to apply for your own unicorn prep, you can go to glamgirlbikini.com and click on the Get Started button to fill out the application. From there, we will set up a phone consultation to see if it's the right fit. So this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, signing off. Thanks for listening, guys.